Folks, when bad news is good news and good news is also good news, what more do you expect than a stock market that just continues to go up regardless of rhyme, reason, circumstance, common sense, who the president is, who the Fed chair is, or anything at all, folks? It is a massive rigged game. The metals markets seem to understand that because they've been rallying alongside of equities for the last 2 days. And at some point, the check is going to come due, folks, all right? We're eating the steak now. We're having a great time. At some point, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to pay the check. And when that happens, I'll be kicking back, gun in my hand, whiskey in my other hand, sitting on a throne of gold bars, probably just waiting for somebody to mug me and steal all my shit, but that's besides the point. While I'm getting mugged, I'll be screaming at the top of my lungs, "I was right! I was right, you fucks!" This is the QTR Podcast. Today's June 7th, 2019. First and foremost, before we get started, I want to shout out the people that make this podcast possible. First and foremost are my friends at Quantamize.com, Quantamize. Quantamize.com is an AI-powered platform that gives you access to over 10,000 stocks, options, and crypto. They were recently rated number one best alternative, which I guess is the number two, to the Bloomberg terminal. So if you don't want to drop $25,000 a year on a terminal, why don't you check in with my friends over at Quantamize? Their service is 100% completely free. You can get the link right in my profile. Also, this podcast is brought to you by my friends at Rumorhound. Rumorhound is a fantastic piece of AI-based software that helps you sort through the M&A rumors, bullshit, and nonsense to find the rumors that maybe you should be paying attention to. Rumorhound.ai, you can check them out in my podcast description as well. The Sang Lucci Trading Group is also helping bring the QTR podcast to you. Sang Lucci and Wall Street Jesus, some of the original realist motherfuckers on Wall Street, the guys with very sharp elbows that monitor options flow. They help you read tape and they help you read market psychology. The Sang Lucci Steam Room, one of the first things I ever came across in my crazy fucked up journey through Wall Street. These guys know what they're doing. There is a link to them in my podcast description too. You could check out Sang Lucci and support them. Finally, my friends over at Hella Bacon. Hella Bacon, bunch of guys in Texas that basically will let you shoot machine guns out of helicopters. If you have any questions, ladies and gentlemen, send them an email. They didn't tell me more than that. I don't know more than that. I don't need to know more than that. Like to keep things fucking simple here. You know what I mean? Finally, the guys that keep the podcast wheels turning, people like Chris Britt, Corvus Gold, Matt Zimmer, Nicholas Parks, Nathan Michaud, Chris Bede, Chris Boas, my homie Russ Valenti, Piggly Wiggly, Brainerd Ferguson. I appreciate you guys. Matt Merle, William Davis, Chris Sharkey, and finally, some of my most recent patrons. As soon as the fucking thing loads here, I feel like I'm using a 28.8 BPS. Jesus fuck, you know what I'm trying to say. The computer's slow. I tried to make a joke, but it's Friday. And I'm exasperated, okay? So it's not working. So anyways, some of my most recent patrons include fine individuals like Tyler Bonneman, Yuri Valerino, Brito de Camaragos, David Hansen, Straight Cash Homie, Jonathan McNeil, Andrew Marsh, and Brian Gray. What's up to all of you? If you want to get on the list and you want to support the podcast, just jump over to Patreon and shoot a little note through there with also your fucking credit card number, please. I mean, the notes are nice, but money is also great. Then that's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not, you know, purporting to be some socialist fucking, you know, hey, I'm doing this for the good of the cause. I am, okay? Do I like money? The answer is I do like money. Is there a certain amount of money that I can reach on this thing that will allow me to do this fucking podcast every day and then upgrade it and get some infrastructure so I can do video and some real shit? Like yesterday, I bought a microphone. It was a huge day for me and some other thing. I don't even know what it's called to, you know, whatever. I went to the store. I said, make me sound less like shit. And then I gave the guy my credit card and then I left and now I have other things here. Okay, that's how it works, folks. So keep supporting me on Patreons and blah, blah, blah. Good luck, Chris. You fucking dope. You can't even put a sentence together. I don't know. I'm 4 minutes into this and basically what I've done today is swallowed my own tongue and I'm completely sober. Maybe that's the problem. By the way, I do recommend a 2-drink minimum for this podcast. It is Friday, so if you want to go for 3, 4, 5 or 12 to 13, I'm going to support that. Finally, I'm not an investment advisor. I have no idea what I'm talking about. This is for humorous purposes only. This is not market advice, etc., etc. No registrations. I hold no licenses. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting in a condominium, okay? in the Philadelphia suburbs just screaming into a microphone. Please don't take my advice. Do your research elsewhere, fools. With all of that shit being said, let's start the podcast right now. It's at 5:11, by the way, because I know there's going to be some fuck on YouTube that puts a thing that says 5:11 so that people can start at the beginning of the podcast, which now is like 5:19, and all those people that complain, I had to sit through 4 minutes of just listening to nonsense and bullshit. Listen, all right, there's a fast-forward button for a reason, but it's nice if you listen, too. Never know when I'm going to drop some kind of cool shit in that beginning part, like when I cursed at myself earlier. You know, that was funny, right? Let's get on with it, ladies and gentlemen. We posted a jobs number this morning that missed estimates by a fuck ton. Now, what were the actual numbers, Chris, you're asking me? I don't know. For that, you may want to listen to an actual professional finance podcast. All I know is the number missed huge. The estimate was like 200,000, and we came in at like 79,000 or something like that. Of course, those numbers are wrong. Somebody's getting ready to correct me now. You call yourself a financial podcast, I can't believe you would really just misrepresent a piece of macroeconomic data like this. Tell you what, fuckface, don't even send the email, all right? Because I'm not going to read it. You want to send it to somebody that cares, send it to a family member, all right? Can't believe this guy. He's just crazy. Guy's an asshole. Point of the matter is, stocks rallied, folks. And why did they rally? They rallied because, as I tweeted this morning, a shit job number means that the Fed is going to push forward, right? It's motivation for the Fed to push forward with this idea that they have put on the table here over the last 6 months, that they're going to cut interest rates. They're going to cut interest rates, folks. If you need to clean the shit out of your ears and hear that one more time, the Federal Reserve thinks that after 10 or 11, it could be 11, I've been saying 10 now for a whole year, 11 years almost, into a recovery that has seen the stock markets triple, and purportedly what they call prosperity. Oh, isn't that nice? Coffee costs $10 a cup, fuckface. How's that for prosperity? All right, sorry. Sorry about that. I got off track there for a second. The point of the matter is, we're 10 years into this prosperity, and we're talking about cutting rates. The market, the Dow, has gone from 7,000 to 25,000, and we're talking about rate cuts. And by the way, it's not like it went from 7,000 to 10, then back down to 5, to 12, to 6, to 50. It went from 7,000 directly up to fucking 25,000, and it hasn't stopped. And it probably isn't going to stop. And the best that our central bankers can do is say, yeah, we'll consider a rate cut here. First off, why? Okay? If you don't believe that a rate cut is being lined up as a result of two things, one, political pressure, and two, this incessant need for everybody to feel comfortable now. Oh my God, people are getting fucking PTSD from logging into their 401k accounts and seeing them down 50 basis points, which is 0.5% for those of you not playing the fucky financial lingo game. People are having PTSD attacks from logging into their 401k. I was told by my Fidelity advisor who gave me a risk assessment test. Okay, here's what happened. Some lady from Vanguard or Fidelity came into my office one day and she made me take some dumb ass 30 question test. You know, there's a picture of a husband and a wife holding hands and they're smiling on the cover and it's like, save for retirement. Know your risk tolerance, right? And on the inside, there's like 30 questions that are all like stupid questions. Like, if the stock market goes down, would you be inclined to A, buy more? B, sell immediately? C, do nothing? Or D, I don't know. You know, and there's like question two. How do you consider your risk tolerance? Is your objective growth? Is it speculation? Is it value? Is it moderate growth? It's like, look, no matter what fucking answer you give on all 30 of these questions of this stupid questionnaire, all right, your money is going into U.S. dollar-denominated bonds and U.S. dollar-denominated stocks. And that's it. And that's the only thing you need to know. There should be one question on the Fidelity 401k risk assessment tolerance list which is, do I have any clue what the fuck I'm doing? And what you do is you check no, and then you just fucking turn the shit in with your signature on it, and your congratulations, you've been enrolled in your company's 401k, and now, instead of working, you can proceed to sit at your cubicle and refresh your 401k balance every single day and think about your money. And that's basically how a 401k works, folks. You're getting into long dollar-denominated shit. Oh, well, we're going to diversify you into real estate, bonds, and stocks. Yeah, well, how fucking well did that work out in 2009, ladies and gentlemen? Because everything got fucking assholed. Everything got hammered, right? Everything got crushed. The only thing that didn't get crushed was gold and silver at the time, right? Other precious metals, maybe some foreign stocks, commodities, things of that nature, things that exist outside of this magical umbrella of the US dollar, which, by the way, in case you guys don't know, it's a fucking sheet of paper with ink on it. A note, a Federal Reserve note, right? A note like in finance, like people in the hood, they say, I got a note on my car. I got to pay my car note, motherfucker. I know because I hear it every day. You used to be able to take your notes and redeem them for gold. They were backed by something. Of course, you can't do that anymore. Which means if the dollar turns into the bolivar, you realize there's the only difference between the dollar and the bolivar is one is paper being printed in one country with some type of ink on it, and the other one is paper being printed in another country with other types of ink on it. That's it. Your dollar is basically a bolivar just waiting to implode. I don't know what the fucking point is here, but those tests on those 401k things are so ridiculous. I remember I had to do one of those like 10 years ago. A woman came in, gave me the thing like, oh, congratulations for signing up your 401k. I was like, look, max the thing out and put it in the most fucking aggressive thing you can. You're obviously not going to give me any other options. Where is the doomsday scenario, folks? I want to check the box that makes my stocks go up when a fucking asteroid hits the Earth. Where's that box? I don't see it in there. Kathy, or whatever the woman's name was, probably Kathy, right? Big woman, early 60s. Comes in wearing, you know, a sweater with a seasonal pin on it. Kathy, where's the box for nuclear Armageddon? Can I check that? That's when I want to make money. I'm not interested in the rest of this shit. Oh, well, I'd have to check with my manager. Oh. The point of the matter is because we've been indoctrinated into this system where everybody expects the market to only go up regardless of pomp, circumstance, the economy, or whether or not the Earth is currently in the trajectory of an asteroid. Now that we're indoctrinated into that system, the Fed is playing this game of we've got to make everything conform to that when it comes to the stock market. So we can't make people uncomfortable. Right? And the problem now is we're getting uncomfortable even though things are quote unquote great, right? So if you subscribe to monetary policy the way that it's been undertaken over the last 10 years, for all intents and purposes, everything's good, right? Inflation's low, according to the Fed. Asset prices are higher. So why are you getting uncomfortable now? This is the problem. The problem is the tolerance that people... There it goes. The fucking phone is ringing. Unbelievable. The problem is that the tolerance that people used to have for comfort used to be very different, right? We scared the fuck out of ourselves with these crashes, right? In the 80s and then the dot-com crash and now the real estate crisis. And we want to prevent it from happening again. But instead of realizing that we have to take the medicine and allow the system to correct itself, as Peter Schiff would say, malinvestment, right? Allow malinvestment to correct. What we have done is we've gotten so fucking trigger happy to prevent any type of discomfort at all that now, to the outside observer, if 10 years ago, if you imagine if you tell somebody 10 years from now, the stock market's going to be at 25,000, okay? The jobs number, which you think is important, I think is less important, but whatever. Unemployment is going to be low. What do you think interest rates would be at? And do you think we would be in a cycle of hiking? Or do you think that we would be in a cycle of cutting? And I guarantee you 10 years ago, first off, people would be like, holy shit, the Fed fucking saved the day. It's 10 years later and my shit's going to triple now. So I got to invest in everything. And they would say, yeah, I'd probably see rates at about 5 or 6% at that point. Right? No, not only are rates not at 5 or 6%, because if they went there, by the way, the aftershocks from the amount of debt outstanding would cause literal shakes in the Earth's core. not literally, but it would fuck up a lot of people's days and give me a lot of content to make fun of on Twitter. But if you had told somebody 10 years ago that that's what was going to happen, they would be like, great, success, fucking QE3 worked, or 2, 3, 3, which one are we on? Who gives a fuck? See, this is the problem. When you do too many QEs that you can't even keep up with the number, all right, you're automatically going against what you said when you did the first QE, which was, hey, we're only going to do it this once. Now we're hooked, folks. We're hooked on the monetary crack. So 10 years ago, you would have said, yeah, everything looks good then. Maybe it's 5, 6% and we're hiking. It's not, okay? It's 2.25% and we're thinking about cuts because the president has us thinking about cuts. Let's put the trade war aside, right? First off, the trade war is causing a little bit of volatility in the markets, but what does that mean? It means we came down from what? 3,000 on the S&P to 2,800? Who cares? Who fucking cares? We have to address every little bump, every little hiccup along the way. And now, because Trump has, really, I think from a political strategy standpoint, put something together here where he's going to get his rate hikes and solve the tariff problems in 2020, which is going to cause the market to go apeshit. Pretty good strategy by him, actually, if that's what he's doing. And I know people will have varying opinions on that, whether he is capable of playing 3- and 4-dimensional chess. But that's besides the point. Yes, the tariffs are making things a little bit volatile, but we don't have to step in every time there's volatility. Do you realize what's going on right now is not a bad thing? It's not a bad thing. The market can't go up every day forever. I mean, certainly the Fed wants to rig the macroeconomic system so that it can. But even then, even under the rigged rules, even when you plug the Fed into the game genie, like I always say, and then blow on it and stick it into the Nintendo, even then the shit doesn't work all the time. And it's not healthy for us to have the expectation that equities need to move higher all the time and then base our monetary policy on that. Because it is leading us down a road where we're really not going to have any options when there is a problem. And that is the big deal of what's going on here. So the Fed has telegraphed to the market that it is going to do whatever it needs to do to continue to move equities higher. And that's why jobs data doesn't matter. Why even have jobs data? Why even post macroeconomic data now? Honestly, you can just have the macroeconomic data go directly to the Fed and you can have the Fed respond. If the data is great, you can have them release it to the public. If the data is shit, you can have them intervene in the markets immediately. And then the public don't even have to worry about it, you know? Then all these fucking interns that get up in the morning don't have to worry about checking the non-farm payrolls number and doing some type of stupid analysis on it. You know, well, there's less people between the ages of 47 and 52 in the labor market in Iowa. That's interesting. That's interesting. Might take a small position in the agriculture ETF on that one. What are you talking about? Just give the data to the Fed. Better yet, just have the Fed run the whole fucking thing. I mean, not like they aren't doing that already. And so, yes, the market was up today. Again. Even despite the shitty jobs number. But if the public starts to figure out that the Fed is doing nothing but backing itself into a corner by keeping rates this low, encouraging more borrowing and more debt than we already currently have outstanding, which is pretty much at record levels across the board, if we continue to encourage that, all we're doing is setting ourselves up for a bigger disaster. The market needs to deflate. Again, malinvestment needs to be corrected. People who have overextended themselves need to feel the pain. And it doesn't have to be a crisis that happens overnight. But something like this with the tariffs, right? Regardless of how you feel about the trade war, just let it happen. Let the market react to what's going on. Let the market price things. Okay? I was reading somewhere today, the Fed's doing a tour. They want to know what people are thinking. They're stopping in Chicago and they're taking questions from people. Fucking stop! Don't do that. Just go to your offices and be objective. Try to be clinical and try not to fucking touch anything, all right? Don't touch anything. Don't do anything. It's my advice to the Fed. Don't do anything. Just let it go. Let the system go. Let's see what happens when you just let shit go here. All right? I'm not saying raise rates. I'm not saying lower rates. Just let it go. What's going to happen now? I'll tell you what's going to happen. At some point, lending and borrowing will correct itself. At some point, equities will correct themselves. Markets go up. Markets go down. Borrowing becomes easy. Borrowing becomes hard. Credit becomes overextended. Credit becomes underextended. Everything is cyclical. This is how it's supposed to work. Let the market figure that shit out. You don't have to be involved in everything. If you want to fucking be involved in everything, then I need Jerome Powell at my house right now to make me a tuna sandwich, all right? You want to micromanage everything? I spent a long day looking at stock charts all day today, and I'm very hungry, okay? So if you're going to micromanage the fucking stock market all day while I'm watching that, you might as well just keep the thing going. Come on over, micromanage my living room, do some vacuuming, make me a tuna salad sandwich, get me a beer, rub my feet. If you want to micromanage, then just go all the way with it. Buy every stock, okay? Here's what the Fed should do. Print $20 trillion, all right, and buy every stock that's currently public and then just own it. And that's it. Everything just trades unch every day from now on. And everybody's happy because shit's not going down. Oh, well, certainly we don't have an equity market anymore. But, you know, that's a very small price to pay because everything's safe now. And that way, when Kathy comes through with your Fidelity 401k survey, and you check how much risk tolerance, people actually take time in those. Am I a moderate? Do I have a moderate risk tolerance or do I have an aggressive risk tolerance? It's like, shit, the same things? What are you going to do? You're going to get 35% corporate bonds and 25% municipal bonds instead of 30% municipal bonds and 25% corporate bonds. Ladies and gentlemen, if something happens to the dollar, nobody fucking cares whether you have corporate bonds, municipal bonds, state bonds, local bonds, federal bonds, because everything's fucked. Okay? That's it. And Kathy, this is for you. You gotta understand. You need more checkboxes on the survey. All right? Better yet, just stop giving people the questionnaire and just hand them a sheet of paper and say, everything's fucked. We'll take your money now. Love Fidelity or whoever we're from, etc. The metals market isn't buying it either. All right? Gold and silver been bid for the last like week. Gold right now, I think closed somewhere near $1,350 today. All right, as equities are rallying, so usually what happens is as equities rally, gold sells off a little bit. And the idea there, the very basic idea is that equities are speculative and gold is really a hedge against shit going ass up. And so when risk is on and people are super stoked about buying equities, they sell gold. And when people are scared, they go in and they buy gold and they sell equities, right? But now you have an interesting phenomenon, right? Which is equities kind of being jammed upward, but gold and silver also being bid. Which says to me that the metals market and people that participate in the metals market are not buying that this is a real rally that's happening now. They are seeing it for what it is, which is an artificially Fed-induced horseshit rally, right? You don't rally on shit macroeconomic data. So it'd be like if Coca-Cola came out tomorrow and they were supposed to do $5 per share in earnings for the year, okay? And they were trading at $50, right? A 10 multiple. And the guidance came in, or the earnings for the year came in, and they said, well, we only did $2.50 for the year in earnings per share. So what are we going to do? Are we going to keep the 10 multiple and go to $25 a share? No, but the stock went up. The stock went up to, let's say the stock went up to 100. And the multiple just expanded to 40 instead of 10. It's the same thing. The underlying data is getting worse, but the valuation that you're assigning to the equity is getting higher and more speculative. And that's exactly what's going on with the market. The macroeconomic data is telling us that everything isn't as great as we think it is. Yet, we keep jamming equities higher. The Fed keeps jamming equities higher by putting out this dovish sentiment that we're going to help things along no matter how, no matter when, and any way that we need to. But it doesn't look like the metals market is buying. It was one of the interesting things that I noticed over the last couple of days. And as somebody that invests in gold and silver, I like that. You know, I've tweeted many times, I like when this fucking clown show, circus, dog and pony act, you know, you got the Fed chair out there looking nervous and confused like he's trying to give a book report for a book that he didn't read in fifth grade, trying to bullshit his way through it when people start asking him questions about his objectives for inflation and the economy. I like seeing that. I mean, as somebody that owns gold and silver, that's what you hope for, right? If you own precious metals, what you want is these guys to drive the thing into the fucking ground. Yeah, sure, maybe famine, plague, and pestilence. You're going to get a little bit of that, though. You know, that's as the mechanic to my parents' 1989 Pontiac said when I was a kid all the time. Hey, you're going to get a little bit of that. What happened? Transmission dropped out through the front of the car onto the highway. You're going to get a little bit of that with Pontiacs. Yeah, you're going to get a little bit of that rear axle just coming undone and falling behind you while you're driving and the sparks and whatnot. Yeah, typical Pontiac. You get a little bit of that, a little squeakiness. You know, that see that way that wheel shimmy in like that? You're going to get a little bit of that. That was a staple in my household saying that. Just because of this piece of shit Pontiac that we had. I wish I remember what kind of model. But oh my God, it was just a disgrace of a vehicle. But yeah, you're going to get a little bit of that, right? Little famine, little plague, little pestilence. I mean, gold's going to be bid, though. Where are you? Well, you're going to be at home clinging desperately to your guns in hopes of protecting the gold bullion that you probably won't be able to protect. I mean, if shit really hits the fan, you just have to laugh and say, well, today's the day. You know, well, Chris, that's awful. I have children. I have children's children. My children's children's children. I want a brighter future for them. Well, I have news for you, folks. All right, reality check, things don't look that great on the economic front. I'm not going to get political, I'm not going to talk about any type of other pessimism I have, of which there's many. But from an economic standpoint, it doesn't look like we're thinking very far ahead, folks. It really doesn't. I've said on this podcast before, Jerome Powell, what's your 100-year plan? You know, we have a 100-minute plan, which is if the S&P hiccups at lunch, by 2 o'clock, fucking Steve Mnuchin's on the phone or making a statement publicly. We have a government that doesn't understand the economy. We have a government that doesn't understand how a free market should work. Therefore, they panic when the first sight of something looking not perfect happens. And that's what we're seeing. And that's really the condition of our culture right now. You know, you got YouTube banning people, you got Twitter banning people. Something happened the other day. All my posts on Twitter were marked media sensitive. You know, I posted a picture of Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell. It was marked media sensitive. You had to click through to look at it. And not a new picture either. I can understand maybe you put that on a new picture because that guy got fucking huge. He got fat. I mean, the guy's enormous. Maybe you want to put the warning on that, but this picture was like from the 90s. I mean, the guy was slim. He still had hair. Dennis Haskins, that was his name. Dennis Haskins. You can't do anything to upset anybody's feelings or anything at all. And this is just like everything else, folks. It's just like taxes. It's just like micromanaging anything. It's just like the government overreaching. And that is, it only gets to a certain point until the shit hits the fan and you have either some type of revolution from the fucking citizens. Which, by the way, I'm not encouraging. I don't want to believe he was making terroristic threats on his podcast. Go fuck yourself. I'm just pointing out in history, this is what has happened, right? When you suppress people and you try to roll and run, I don't know where the word roll came from, but you try to run everything, at some point people are going to feel suffocated and they're going to want to lash out. And it's the same thing economically. If you try to control every little, don't got macro jobs, this, that, the price of milk, you know, what's the cost of wheat in Madison, Wisconsin? You try to control all those little things. At some point, it's like Christmas, a Vegas vacation. When he's in the dam and the dam springs a leak and he puts his fucking piece of gum on the wall and then, you know, the dam springs another leak. Until you know it, the whole goddamn Hoover Dam has collapsed, folks. And that's possible from an economic standpoint. It really is. That can happen. Question is when. And all these people, by the way, out there telling you that it's not going to happen, perma-bears are ridiculous people. All right? And by the way, some people I've seen out there too, taking the time now to make their own videos and podcasts and also doing a lot of cursing too. Interesting. People I've never heard curse before coming onto podcasts, and they're like, oh, fucking jobs. Oh, do I sound normal? Do I sound natural? Oh, yeah. Good luck. All right, buddy. Good luck. There's one business model of being a degenerate drunk that curses about the economy, and I got a motherfucking monopoly on it. Me and Max Mulvihill, we're taking it to the streets, folks. If you don't know who Max Mulvihill is, you got a lot of learning to do about this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I'm losing my mind, but the point of the matter is, at some point, something will have to give, okay? Something's going to have to give at some point. We can't micromanage everything. And that's today. We just took one more step. And yes, it may have made the markets happier today for one more second. And we may have gotten 200 points on the Dow today. But we can't do it forever. And I'm going to sit here and tell you that until either the whole thing goes to shit or I die. One of those two things is going to happen. And you know what? I really see it as a win-win situation. Because one way I'm going to be right, and the other way I'm finally going to get some fucking sleep. Which is long overdue, all right? But don't let the people out there that are telling you that it's not possible fool you. And look, is it likely? No, it's not likely. Is it inevitable? Yes, it's eventually inevitable in my opinion. But don't let people out there tell you it can't and won't happen. That's what happened with the subprime crisis. And if you weren't around then, go watch some YouTube and reacquaint yourself. Okay? It's always after these events people say, oh, how come nobody saw that? Fuckface, somebody did see it. All right? And somebody's going to see the next one. And we're all going to be sitting around pointing fingers. Oh, this wasn't in our model. Oh, your model. Stop letting the 21-year-old intern do the Excel models. That would be my first thing. Hi, are you PricewaterhouseCoopers? Stop sending young college graduate interns to do your audits, all right? And then allowing the company to provide the information for you. I've sat through audits. I'm like, this is what's happening? Company's like, yeah, put a 2100 in that line. People are like, all right, 2100, got it. I'm like, that doesn't really seem like he's auditing anything. And this kid doesn't even have pubes yet. What's going on around here? This is a multi-million dollar corporation. Oh, Jesus Christ. Bill Fleckenstein's back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. And I got some new audio equipment, so I'm sure Bill will be excited that he won't sound like shit. I may continue to sound like shit for really perpetuity, folks, but maybe that's what you like about me. I don't know. It's Friday night. I'm heading to jiu-jitsu. I am out of here. I'll be back tomorrow. Peace.